we pray. Heavenly Father, again we approach thy throne of grace and mercy, knowing, Lord, that you have extended grace in this hour, and we realize, Father, that all that depends upon us, whether we'll receive it. And Father, we want to receive your grace this morning, and by faith, Lord, and active participation, we do receive your grace, O God, this message of grace. Help us to study it this morning, therefore, Lord, and may it supersede, and not just supersede, but literally, Christ, as you cleanse the temple of those robbers, I pray you'll cleanse our minds this morning by the power of the living Word of God. Get rid of all those robbers that would rob us of the truth, Lord. We pray that every creed and dogma that's in there should not be there, and none of it should be there, Lord. May it be plucked up root and branch, leaving neither root nor branch. That we may have a mind, Lord, that is receptive to you, a mind that gives headship to God. Father, we pray for that this morning. We want it, so help us, direct us. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're in number 7, Anointed Ones of the End Time, and of course, it's good to look again at our text of Matthew 24:24, when we try to follow exactly what the prophet is teaching in this message. Now, I took a strong preamble last Wednesday, so you study that carefully on those verses. And so we read, "For there shall arise false Christ," and that is really even lying prophets. They're one and the same. Remember, Brother Branham taught that, and that, of course, is the Greek. "For there shall arise false Christ even," or false anointed ones, false messiahs, false leaders. "There shall arise false Christ, even false prophets, lying prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch if it were possible they shall deceive the very elect." Behold, I told you before. Remember, on Wednesday we brought to your attention that the mind is a very slippery, carnal, filthy instrument. As surely as your mind will right away play a trick on you and start you looking at the miracles and things. And you'll start thinking that's what a prophet is all about. That is not what a prophet is all about. It is the Word. And so therefore the crux of this thing is you're going to get fooled by a slippery character who does signs and wonders that are legitimate, and he's going to take you right away from the Word and consequently away from God. And Brother Branham shows us in all this sermonizing here, all the types, the shadows, everything he can do to show us reality. Okay, now, I'm going to read out of the Weiss translation, first of all, and it says here, "Then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there, do not begin to believe him. For there shall arise," in other words, what's the language? Do not begin to believe him. Just snap him right off. Say, "Hey, fella, I know the scripture." And that's what happened to Eve. She began letting the serpent insinuate into her mind something contrary to the Word of God. She should have said, "Hold it, hold it, hold it." Well, you say, "I must be polite and sweet." Well, that's nice. Somebody's going to put a worm in your stew. Oh, it's okay to put a worm in my stew and a fly in my horseradish. I don't mind. A mouse in the butter. Huh? Come on, smart now. Doesn't matter what goes into your mouth. It's what comes out of your mouth because it's going to come out of your heart. Brother Brand said, "Feed the Christ within you." So that's what you got. He said, "Hold it. Do not begin to believe him." In other words, don't let a seed be planted. Say, "Hold it." See? "For there shall arise false Christs, even lying prophets, and shall produce great attesting miracles, and miracles that arouse amazement." Even miracles arouse amazement. "So as to deceive, if that were possible," which it is not, "even the chosen ones." I got a little magazine the other day. It's called Voices from the Excellent Glory, Hogwash. It's not from the excellent glory I hear from, because they're advertising a man and they're preaching a sermon telling us at the end time the very elect are going to be deceived. Now, if he's that Antichrist, you think I'd go near that place in Hot Springs? Oh, they got all my lovely buildings, lovely this, and they'll treat you lovely. Why go down and have a vacation? Hogwash. I wouldn't take your vacation for nothing. We say, I think it'd be smart to go down there and just take them in. They think they can take you in. It says, don't even begin. Look, they're wrong. It's Antichrist. I don't care what he produces. I don't care what he produces. He's Antichrist. That takes care of it. ministers of Satan transformed into angels of light. Prophets, wolves in sheep clothing. Get rid of it. You're not shutting up your womb of compassion when I preach like this. I'm not teaching you to shut up any womb of compassion. I'm telling you, like Brother Van, your womb is either shut up, the womb of your mind, or it is not. And if your mind is still open. Like my wife sat beside a woman one time, and this man was, well, he was very, very anxiously crying out for money. And oh my, he pleaded his case in this letter. Oh, he just had the money, just had the money, just had the money. He'd sold everything. So what? So did I. And you know my returns were not only zilch, but it put me in debt because I was teaching lies and errors. Teaching the people wrong. And she said, Sister Vale, I think you better send this man some money. I said, oh, God. Partake of his sins. You know, you can't even say God bless you to man and shake his hand if you know he's really wrong. You know, you can't even forgive a person except in the person of Christ. Oh, we're great evil beaters. We're achievers. We're Christians. Fat. Mondo, dos, let's sit down and let God work this over. Amen. It's time kind of get really lined up. It's time to get really lined up. Because how much of the Spirit of Christ is really moving us? This is the thing that bugs me all the time. That's why I feel so miserable. And there's no need for it. We can be on top, not with positive thinking, but with godly thinking that brings forth godly answers. He says, which it is not, even the chosen ones. Behold, I have told you ahead of time. That's Matthew 7, he said that. And right now, too. If therefore they say to you, behold, he's in the uninhabited region, go not for it. Behold, in the secret rooms, do not begin to believe it. Notice again, do not begin to believe it. You understand what he's saying here? I like this. It's so perfect. If you have this message, then that's it. That's it. Well, there's a great man here. I don't care if he is. All right, understood? See, you're not on the fence anymore when you get that attitude. People say, well, wouldn't you maybe just miss something? You bet I'll miss something. It's called Antichrist. Yeah. Sure. Now, I showed you the other night that Matthew 24:24 came out of Matthew 24:2, 3, and 4, somewhere in there. And Jesus said, now, well, let's go out of here. And they showed Jesus the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said, see ye not all these things? Verily say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon Mount of Olives, as he left where he was, now went up Mount of Olives, the disciples came in privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy appearing and of the end of the age? And he answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And then he said, if any man say to you, therefore, verse 23, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise, I'm repeating, there shall arise, Jesus is saying, I'm repeating to you, false Christ, even lying prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch those things will deceive all, almost deceive, but cannot deceive the very elected. They're the only ones that won't be. Now notice they said, what shall be an attesting miracle concerning this? And he said, miracles is not it. See? Miracles in themselves is not it. Now, here's what we says. And as he was sitting upon the Mount of Olivet, the disciples came here privately saying, tell us when shall these things be? And what shall be the attesting miracle which will indicate your coming? And he should have used the word presence there because we knows better. And the consummation of the age. And answering, Jesus said, then be constantly seeing to it that no one leads you astray, for many shall come in my name. Now notice, that's exactly the prophet of Deuteronomy 13 and 18. They will come in the name. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm an anointed one. I'm anointed to Christ. I'm here to tell you these miracles are genuine to help you to know I have got it. See? Now remember, back in the time of the Exodus, Korah, Dathan, Abiram rose up as members of the Levite, the ministry, the priesthood, and they were able to prophesy and do great things, no doubt, and they came and disputed Moses' right to leadership. Same thing here. And they said, Moses, do you think you're the only one that's got something? And he said, no, I am not the only one that's got something, but I am the only one that's got this. And when they challenged him, he went before God and he said, now God, listen, I'm not denying those guys haven't got something. But he said, here's the thing. And this is the time that Moses got mad. You understand that? Oh, he got mad at the people before and he hit the rock. He shouldn't have done it. He glorified himself. But this time Moses did not glorify himself. He glorified God and the position that God had given him as a true steward. And he said, now Lord, if those men die a natural death, you never call me. And God said, I'll see that they don't die a natural death. He said, earth swallow them up with fire. And they did. Now, once more fire is going to fall from heaven and destroy these that come against the prophet. Now, let's understand Scripture, brother and sister. We are not dealing with this humanistic love. We're dealing with God who is love. Amen. And let me tell you something. God loves himself or he couldn't be love. God is love. And he's the right kind. So we're learning lessons here. So let's not begin to fool ourselves that we've got something superior to God. That's what the church has done. They made themselves God, brother, sister. Don't you see? That's where their creeds and dogmas supersede the living word. That's why the Roman Catholic Church, the oldest organized church, has got a pope that claims he's actually God to the people. And when he speaks off the throne ex cathedra, that's it. Hogwash, that's it. The guy's as antichrist as can be. And the Protestants are doing the same thing. Now, when God does speak, and listen, Hebrews 12 says he's got to speak. How's it going to be done? And Jesus answering said to them, be constantly seeing to it that no one leads you astray. If you are going to watch out for something, watch out for this. Don't be led astray. For many shall come in my name, saying, as for myself, I am the Christ. You know nobody's going to say that. Literally, I am the Christ. That's a misnomer right there. You and I don't apprehend it because we don't understand what Christ is all about. An anointed one with the truth. The one set to help you so that you don't get in this bind of being deceived. I am here to undeceive you, says the deceiver. That's what Satan said. I am here to undeceive you, Eve. Oh, God's deceived you, kiddo. A beautiful girl like you. Oh. Well, you couldn't sin in the first place. Why, he said, God knows it. He hasn't taken you far enough. That's why the prophet came on the scene. He said, well, the prophet didn't take you far enough. I'm here now to tell you. Right from the Garden of Eden. See, as for myself, I'm the Christ. I'm the one to tell you the truth. That's the serpent said that. Okay, let's just take a little look at this for a minute then. We're looking at Matthew 24, 1 to 2. Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him to show the building temple. And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, there shall not be here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, this evidently is, not just subsequent to chronologically, because it is, but subsequent to the reality of Christ cleaning the temple, you have made it a den of thieves and merchandisers. So therefore, he didn't only cleanse the temple, he was going to get rid of the temple. Because evidently the temple had outlived its usefulness. It had now become a trap. That's what organization does. That's what happened when Luther rose up and didn't divest himself 100% from the Roman Catholic Church. Some clung to him. Luther, some clung to him. And Pentecost clung to them. But with us, nothing can cling. Yeah, amen. Brother Branham said the five stars in conjunction back in 55, not 55, what was it? 50, who knows, somewhere in the anyway, 60s. I guess God knows I remember anymore. He said that was significant of a new bride church, a babe church being born. Just the same as the Ephesians. It was a complete departure. When did anybody ever say the new birth was completely void of sensation and signs? Whoever preached on the growing up into Christ, that's your perfect man. Who preached a sermon like this one here? Yet Brother Branham's neighbor, a woman, she said, Brother Dale, Brother Branham's one of the worst hypocrites I ever knew. He brought me boxes of magazines, the preacher's magazines, and he got his sermons out of them. I challenge that woman before the white throne of Almighty God, she'll stand there. And any other time, show me any preacher ever preached this kind of a sermon. Beware, lest the seed come in. One thought. Be on your guard. Well, many people are always on the guard about conduct. I'm for conduct, too. I wish I was the most conscientious, loving, wonderful person that God ever made, but that was Jesus, not me. So forget it. Moses did very well, too. Paul did very well, too. William Branham, super excellent. Lee Dale, zilch. So what? I like character. Let me tell you something. If it doesn't come out of this word, you can forget it. If you haven't got this word, you'll end up a mess. You cannot fail to be trapped. You think you're smart sitting there, young people. Let me tell you something. You will be trapped if you're not trapped already. You think you're smart? You're stupid. You're smug. You'll be trapped. And you'll die. You're old enough to know that? Better understand what I'm saying. I will meet you at the white throne. And I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just telling you. Talk to your parents. They didn't begin to go through what you're going through. My day was completely free and honorable. Back in those days, only the Mormons and the Roman Catholics stunk. A few Protestants. But their standard was very high. And of all my group and my kids and the hundreds I knew, I'm the only one that has from God what's needed for this hour. You sitting here believing you're the most fortunate people in all this world, if you carp about anything in your life and I carp, we are resentful and ungrateful. Something's wrong with us somewhere. We need a little more cleansing. All right, Christ cleansed the temple. And I think when he said this, I'm going to rip it all down, he was talking from that viewpoint. Now later on, when he went to Mount of Olives, the disciples went with him. They said, tell us, when shall these things be? What will be the sign of thy presence and the consummation of the ages? Okay. Now, verse 3. When shall these things be? The sign of thy presence, the end of the age, is to be understood in the context of Luke 24, 13 and 24. Luke 24. 13 and 24. To 24. I'll read it to you. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3 furlongs, and they talked together all the things that had happened. And it came to pass that while they continued together in reason, Jesus drew near and went with them. Their eyes were holed, and that they were shut, and they couldn't know him. That is, they were stopped from understanding us. And he said, what manner of communications are these you have one another as you walk, because you're so sad? And one named Cleopas answering said, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem, and have not known the things which have come to pass in here in these days? And he said, what things? And they said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. But evidently he wasn't. And beside all this, is the third day since these things were done, they crucified him. And now we're really going nuts with what's going on, because we have some women, and they got to be crazy. But they're of our company, so this is worse than ever now. And boy, are we astonished, because they said they went to the sepulcher, and when they came, they didn't find his body, but the rock was rolled away. And they came on top of that, saying they'd seen a vision of angels,
who said to them that this Jesus was not dead but alive. And certain ones of us went into the sepulcher and found it, even as the women said. Didn't say they saw angels, but nobody was there. See? And he said, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets were spoken. Now, the reason I said that verse 3 had to be in the context, 24 and 3, had to be within the context of this, these three people or two people in this dilemma. Read it again. Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy presence into the world? Now look, what you and I are doing is we're looking back, knowing what took place, thinking that these men know what we know when they asked that question. They did not know what we know. And Luke 24 proves it. This is a complete stab in the dark. So it wasn't looking 2,000 years down the road while we look 2,000 years back. You understand what I'm saying? Now, we could ask that question seeing it's happening now. But they couldn't. Let's go to Luke 17 and see the same dilemma. Verse 20. And when he was the man of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God comes not with observation. He said, if such a thing as comes in such a way that you don't know as it is coming, and having arrived, you wouldn't recognize it. Ha! Can anyone here recognize the conditions of the tree of life in our midst? No! Go ahead and tell me you can. You know you can't, because you're not that smart. You're all of us put together too stupid and too dumb. We had to find out from somebody else. Did we know that he was here? The Lord himself shall descend. The Lord himself shall descend. Oh, well, I just kind of think that means, oh, you do? I got news to you. Go on out and don't come back till you repent. Because you're in your sin. You ain't got a prayer. He said right here, it comes without observation. That means nobody there to see it? Hogwash. That's like the old saying. The sound is nothing but waves. I guess they're percussion waves, something. Set up so that when it hits a certain membrane called the eardrum, then it becomes a noise. So therefore the thought is this, if thunder thunders on the desert and nothing hears it, then there was no noise. Ha! How many angels can dance on the tip of a needle? There goes your stupid stuff. Certainly there was something out there. There was noise, regardless anybody heard or not. So what it is, says the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, does not mean the kingdom of God will come when nobody can see it. It's telling you flat, nobody can see it, even though there are people there who should be able to see it. And there were people. Because blind old Anna saw him in the spirit. And so did Simeon. Sure. The shepherds were told, so they knew too. The wise men had a previous inclination, so they knew too. All right. It cometh not with observation. It comes in such a way that it cannot be seen. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. That's right, because they can't see it. They can't tell where it is. Now, that's what he says about himself. When the Christ comes. They won't say, lo here, lo there. Because it's going to come how nobody sees it. This brings us to the actual truth that God interprets his word by manifesting it. But it takes a prophet to tell us what all was all about. We took that through scripture dozens of times. Now, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. He said to the disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. Very plain. And they shall say, see here, there, going on after, and follow them. That's again, many will come in my name and say, I'm the Christ. For he's out here, he's out there. He said, there's a picture. He didn't say, here he is, there he is, there, there. He'll go here, go there. He stood right in the Colosseum and stood right there, and there was the picture. He didn't have to say, go here, something else. It was proven right in public. Deuteronomy 18. As lightning, the Epiphaneia. The Epiphaneia, which is the revelation, which the Epiphaneia, in the parlance of theology, is an enlightenment. Your Epiphaneia, your guiding light, your setting free, your introduction, your emancipation, your jubilee, all of it, your Epiphaneia, your illumination, this is it, hallelujah, into the seventh seal, now, right here. Oh, I hope you catch what I'm saying, brother, sister. I hope you catch what I'm saying. Because you can catch it. I'm not talking to dodos. You sit here and you tell me. One, you did. Brother Vale, you were years ahead of us. Then it got 2 years. Then it got 6 months. Then it got 4 months. And it got down to 2 weeks. And we sit and we follow you. Right, Don? You told me. Are you following me? I'm not saying you're not. I'm saying you are. And you just stay awake. And don't you blank me out. Oh, if you want, that's your business. Turn me off in the next 10 minutes. Go ahead. You see how you get tough? I know you're going to do it, but I'm warning you shouldn't do it. Because then I'm free. And I'm going to stand there and take responsibility. This is the Epiphaneum. And the prophet explained it. As the light came in the east, it comes to the west. And that's the end of it. Rapture. Shine to the west. One part of him, the other part. So must the Son, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. The Son of Man shall be in his day. And he's talking about the presence. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And that Lord is what? If you, he said, I am. And if you not believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. And I am was Jehovah God. It wasn't the body of flesh. It was the one dwelling in the body of flesh. That's why Jehovah, the Old Testament, Jesus the New, which is the pillar of fire come down. There it is right there. He said, that's Elohim. That's right. That's Jehovah. That's right. That's Jesus, the form of the Holy Spirit. People don't understand that. He came without observation. He came without invitation. He came. He appeared suddenly. And the appearing started. We have the record. June 11th, 1933, over the Ohio River. On the Indiana side. Yep. You know, the funny part is, the coast of that river belongs to Kentucky and not to Indiana. That's right. So therefore, Christ appeared to the church. That's right, he did. But he went to people who had no claim on the church. We'll see how the church turned him down. Everything types in this word. Nothing that doesn't type. There's not a thing. Brother Brandy's hunting experiences, all those things out in the desert now, a regular Elijah. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, be in the days of the Son of Man. What am I trying to tell you here? I'm trying to tell you this. The apostles didn't have a clue to this. But we looking back, having the clues, we think they had clues. And are asking intelligent questions pertinent to themselves at that hour. And I want you to know that's what Brother Branham did many times. They asked questions, and he answered them altogether different, as it were. I can prove that. And so let's get the picture here. These men did not know what we know. They thought the kingdom was going to come any old time now. When are you going to knock the thing all down? When are you going to be standing here as the real one that we know that you are that one and take your authority? And he said, I'm not going to do it. But he said, judgment is going to come. So I hope you're catching some thoughts here now. So therefore, Matthew 24:1-2, based on the cleansing temple, verse 3 is to be understood in the context of Luke 24:13-24. also understood that Luke 17:20-30 could not have been received by the apostles as a period 2,000 years away, but as one belonging to them at their hour. They couldn't do it. They couldn't understand it. See, there's no way. All right. So, we look at Matthew 24:24 as Brother Branham's text. And it is evident the disciples wanted some sort of indication of the presence, and that is what the deception is all about. And since Matthew 17, remember that's where he said Elijah must first come before the kingdom, and they said, all right, we've got a picture of the kingdom right now in glorification. Isn't Elijah supposed to precede it? And he said, yes, Elijah did precede it. That's why he said the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. And so therefore they could understand from this, if their senses were alert, they could understand that there would be a message preceding the literal kingdom of God. And that's what the angel, God told Brother Branham on the river, as John the Baptist foreran the first coming, so your message will forerun the second coming. See? But people take the scripture here and they think the apostles knew what they were saying. They did not know what they were saying. Or they knew what they were saying in the context of the hour in which they lived. They wanted something now. And we foolishly look back and think, oh, hey. No, that's where you get entirely fooled, brother, sister. You're entirely fooled. You've got to have the scripture for this hour, pointing to this hour, not that. And Jesus swung 2,000 years ahead. So don't you worry about the temple being crumbled. And don't you worry about a lot of things. You just worry about this one thing. And that is, you be careful that nobody fools you on the principle of being a leader. Self-appointed. Instead of manifestly a God. That's the thing right now. Not some vote. The Catholic Church have voted for years. The Cardinal, the College of Cardinals. Could anybody in their right mind think those buzzard-looking birds could possibly have a vote from God all dressed up like a circus? Where in the world do you find such nonsense? I may be spitted for this, like the butcher bird and a sparrow. That'd be my tough luck. But I want to know, have you ever seen it? Have you ever seen these parades where they carry these little carts around and sprinkle holy water? What has that got to do with the Lord Jesus Christ and the things of Almighty God? Tell me. That's going to get you there? You know what, I'll tell you what. They are nothing but Protestantism gone to seed over 2,000 years. And give the Brother Branham said in 200 years, the Pentecostals will be worse than the Roman Catholics. They'll be completely gone. And they will be. And I'm from a Pentecostal background. Thank God the background is faded. It's been swallowed up in the abyss. All right. They knew something must come. And Christ said, yes, something is going to come. A bunch of false Christs. How are the elect going to find out which is which? By Deuteronomy 18, and the light of Deuteronomy 13, and the light of Numbers 12, showing you exactly how a vindicated prophet will act in a time of Exodus, because we have a time of Exodus, and that is the way it goes. All right. Now, there is absolutely no scripture that even vaguely indicates that a prophet will arise at the end time scene outside of Elijah. And his appearing is to bring restoration. We know that's thus saith the Lord. And this coming of Elijah signifies it is a man born to this generation with the spirit of Elijah, as we understand it from Luke 1 and 17. So just take a look at Luke 1 and 17. Because remember, Elijah has got to appear. And it says here, in verse 16, and many of the children of Israel shall John turn to the Lord their God. And John shall go before the Lord God of Israel in the spirit and power of Elijah. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedient to the wisdom of just, to make ready a people prepared to the Lord. It tells you categorically that John, who is Elijah, was going to turn people's hearts to God. That means there's nobody but them whose hearts are turned. And it was their hearts are turned because not that their hearts were ever turned away from God as though they were not of God. Their disobedience lay in misunderstanding, because that's what the Greek says. So he would open the eyes of the blind. In other words, he would bring truth to the people. And they would know what that truth is. Now that's exactly, having known that, brother, sister. Now listen carefully. Having known that in that hour, and Matthew 17 is before Matthew 24, then they understood exactly what he was saying at that time. Because they were the ones that said, shouldn't Elijah come? He said, absolutely going to come. Well, hey, are you really going to have a king? Yes, 2,000 years down the road. They thought now. He said, Elijah's already come. He's going to come again. So you see, don't you look back and think that they knew what you know. You better realize they didn't know what you know. See? Now try to get my thinking. I know this is a little bit tough on some of you because you're not used to using your minds on these things. And God would not have brought this to my attention except some of you need it. Now all of you can never get the same depth as others. But thank God there are men sitting here, and I'm not worried about women. You're going to make it all right. But you're not required. But there are men sitting here that I will pit against any pulpit in the world. And if you let me down, you're going to die in your tracks. Or I'll bust you. My own sweet little way. I only have confidence. I believe that you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't, you better come on a Wednesday night with your questions or Sunday morning. Lay them on this pulpit. Let's find out. So you're getting the picture. These men were talking 2,000 years ago. That even at the time of the resurrection, Christ was walking with them. They didn't know anything really to what they should have known. Yet they knew Elijah had to come. And they knew Jesus' words. So therefore, we can take Jesus' words and apply them in the light of that present understanding with our present, with the light of their present understanding or their knowing, plus what we've got, and see a perfect picture here. Deceit is what it's all about. Yep. Now, how are you going to get from being deceived? God has to do something so unmistakable with and to the elect that ends it. So I say, have you turned your corner? Have you got off your fence? Why are you sitting here this morning? Now, I don't want you to leave. Look, don't think I'm waspish and trying to take a pot shot at anybody. You're here because you want truth and you want what's beyond the veil. You want what's beyond the river. You know, something in your heart is calling for deep. This is the answer according to the Word of God. Not something else. How's your tape? All right. Now, this coming of Elijah signifies it is a man born to this generation with the spirit of Elijah, and we understand it by Luke 1:17. It is not a return of Elijah himself. And when he comes, others will follow with both signs and wonders and messages. Now, having set this scriptural thesis before us, Brother Branham brings up many Old Testament illustrations and refers them to this day. We've been dealing with them, especially Zedekiah and Micaiah at the time of the death of Ahab. Zedekiah is a prophet and is appointed by Ahab. In other words, he's the beast he's the false prophet to the beast. And Micaiah is a prophet appointed by God, and he is asked to prophesy by Josiah. So he becomes a prophet to the elect. And you notice that Josiah escaped barely. See, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where are the ungodly and sinner here? And remember, the dogs licked the blood of Ahab, and that is a type of the death upon the land at the end time. People will die. There'll be literally no one to bury them if they remain outside of ashes and dust and all. That's why I think it speaks of animals one place and speaks of dust and ashes another place. Letting you know in picture here, the dogs won't even be here to eat you up. Atomized. Coming on the earth. Okay, we're going to read a little bit, not take too long this morning, because I don't want to keep it long. We're going to go to paragraph 89 and page 22. And Brother Branham set the scene here. Now we've got to look back and remember what the disciples asked and realize they didn't even know what they were talking about. After Pentecost, Peter knew, but not before. Now we know the whole picture in retrospect because we got a beautiful peek down from the pinnacle. Okay. Paragraph 89. Now remember, Zedekiah said that he saw God in the same spirit that Micaiah saw God. I saw God. He told me to make these horns and so on. Now jump down to paragraph 90. Notice what took place. Micaiah said, I saw God sitting upon a throne in heaven. Now what do you think they saw when they said they saw God? What do you think they saw? Something. Well, Moses saw a pillar of fire. He saw the bush burning, wasn't consumed. He came over here, and the boy said, hey, he said, take your shoes off. This is holy ground. Why was it holy ground? Because God was there. Now, the pillar of fire, the light was not God. The pillar of fire is the Shekinah glory, which is the glory attendant upon the personal presence of God. So God is here, and there's the glory emanating. That's like Logos, you might say. And we couldn't see it, but God allowed a camera. Notice the grace of God. Notice how God can break His own word, so to speak, or bring it to pass, and nobody's going to get hurt. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Everybody's got to die, but everybody's not going to die. Behold, I show you a mystery. I'm going to cancel that. Nobody can see God. Nobody can see the pillar of fire. Nobody. It said, take a picture of a camera. There it is. See your reflection. Grace. God does it. Okay. Isaiah said, I saw God. I saw high and lifted up in the heavens, and I saw His train fill the temple. The great retinue. He said, I saw God. What did he see? I don't know. Ezekiel, he's a little better. He tells you much more. Ezekiel chapter 1. Let's take a look at that. I just want to throw this at you a little bit. Okay, he had visions of God. Verse 1 said he saw visions of God. Not visions from God. He actually saw visions of God. About verse 4, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. That's a whirlwind. Remember Brother Branham had a whirlwind hit the rocks? Do you believe that?
Yeah.
20-30 men saw it. A whirlwind actually came on a huge cliff of rocks out there near Wilcox, that canyon out there, and it struck the face of the flinty rocks, and it bore a hole in the rocks and threw out thousands of little wedge-shaped pyramids. Just blasted. We've got witnesses. Do you think the theological world would take that? All those puffed up people. Education will get you somewhere, sister. Educate your plumb into hell. You get the wrong stuff. Pick up a test tube and read it wrong. You're in trouble. Pick a book of philosophy. You're in trouble. Better watch it. A great cloud and a fire enfolding itself and a brightness about it. And out of the midst of it, the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Now what did he hear? Was a pillar of fire he saw. Amber. And he saw God manifesting through the ages like the four creatures. Then you go to the fifth chapter, fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. What do you see there? See, John was taken up into heaven. And he saw one sitting on a throne. What does he see? It's got to be the same pillar of fire. Nobody can see God live, so he just puts a mask on and lets you see an appurtenance, something outward, something he can let you know that he is there. Remember, Zedekiah saw, he saw God in the same spirit. Okay. God told Zedekiah says, he told me to make these horns out of iron, go out there and push the nations out of here, for this belongs to us. The others got no right to it. Now listen, Brother Brown said, they would have, if they'd have stayed right with God, they would have had that, but they got away from God. Now, let's just take a look at that. Pardon me, let's go to I beg your pardon. Go to Revelation. I was going to say Ephesians, I don't want Ephesians. Revelation, second chapter. Now watch what he says in verse 3. And has borne my name and has patience and for a name's sake has labored and not fainted. Nevertheless, I've got somewhat against you, not because you left your first love, but that thou hast left thy first love. What Paul had against them, not Paul, not John, what God had against them was they had left their first love. Now right away, we are going to go back to that lovely subject of love, and we're going to get all gushy and gooey inside, and you're going to believe that to simply let someone kick your face in his love, which is fine, nothing against that, or to do terrible things and turn the cheek, that's fine, that's there too. Let's go though to the book of 1 John, because he's the man who's writing Revelation, and he's the man that's all wrapped up in love, so-called. That's what people think. Now let's find out. Let's read right in chapter 1. And we're going to find something very, very peculiar here. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon with our hands and handled of the word of love. And the love was manifested and we have seen. Is that what he said? Doesn't say that at all. He says life. Because he's transferring spirit to life. That's what he's doing. Because with life there's going to be manifestation. With spirit, no dice. Unless he wants it. No way. No way, no way. When you follow what I'm saying? I'm teaching my own theology here right now, as far as I know. I don't know. But there's somewhere Brother Branham said it. There's no doubt. But I can assure you that God is life. I can assure you that God is spirit. And I can assure you that no man has seen God who is spirit and will ever live, and no man, to my knowledge, has ever seen him or will see him. The only begotten is the only one who has seen him, and he will tell you all about him. But we handled the word of life. Same thing with a different understanding. Right? So we look at it this way. Now, that which was from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is the God, and the Word is God. It, that which in the beginning was the life. And the life was with God, and the life was God. I don't care how you put it. Doesn't matter. You're going to get the same thing, but you're going to get it under different conditions to give you different understanding. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which you looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, the Logos of God. And the light was manifested, absolutely made so plain that you couldn't miss it, that that was that light from the beginning. And we have seen it. And bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. Now that's exactly John 1 and 1 in different phraseology. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Don't you try to get rid of the Son and be Jesus only. God had a Son, period, and the Son lives. And one day the Son will be met in the clouds of the air for the wedding supper, and the Father that's here now will incarnate himself and will crown him King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and that'll be the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Man, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Elohim, Jehovah, Yahweh. Lily the Valley, the Rose of Sharon, altogether lovely. Sure, okay. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And if we walk in the light as he in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. My little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins and not for our own sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. For whosoever keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. Not one mention of love until now. Then where's the love coming from? The Word. Now that's what this church has got to be built upon, brother, sister. No other way. I don't know how far we off from the rapture. If this church has any indication, and I up here preach him any indication. It's at least 2,000 more years off, except for grace. We're not going to live that long. But there comes a time when the reaper catches up with the sower. There comes a time when there's a quick work, when God, by abundant grace, is going to overlook a lot of things. But he's not going to overlook your disassociation from the Word and believing those who deceive. Let me tell you something. We have not even reached any depth of subtlety at this point. No. No, no, no. Nothing has subtle come to you. I am at this point the most subtle teacher if I am wrong. The rest are not subtle. They're either after your money, or they want you to fall. They beat you over the head and make you so loyal that no matter what happens, they could go out here and almost kill you. Oh, yes, fine brother. Oh, yes, fine brother. Yes, fine brother. Not around here. You don't get that kind of crud. Nor do I stand there and teach polygamy so I can get a young woman to live with her if I'm young enough. You don't get a crash here, except my X-rated sermons, and I bong everybody, myself included. I'd be the close to being subtle. But I want to ask you one question. If he is not here, who is here? If he was supposed to come down, where is he? Tell me when he went. You show me if I'm subtle. No more subtle than a horse stepping on your face. And you know it. Because I've not tried to con you or to buy you any other way that you consider in my ministry. Shows you don't have good taste. But you're willing to find out if maybe something is there after all. Now you listen, I'm saying. If it doesn't come out of the Word, you ain't got it and I ain't got it. And Brother Branham said Jesus was a renegade alongside that fine old priest. And he was tempted in all points. And he didn't say, now listen, you people, I'd marry and Martha are two nice girls and polygamy's okay, so I'm going to reintroduce it. Did he? And what's these preachers preaching it for? There's getting more of them all the time. They make me vomit. I can make myself vomit, don't worry, without even poking my finger down my throat. I just look in the mirror and that does it. Whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. If we have the word of God, my brother, sister, now hear me, don't you go messing around this morning. Get your eyes right on me. Listen carefully. If we have the mechanical word of God, which is the conduit of the Holy Ghost, and we ourselves, fortunately, and we believe we are, the farmland of God, that land will have in it everything is necessary for the seed to live, except for one thing, rain and sun, and that's supplied by God. Independent or subsequent to his first supply, which is the ground and the seed. And if we are ground and the seed is here, through natural election and spiritual combined, and he has provided that word, that rain, and that sun, there is no way we will miss what I'm talking about here. The love of God will come. And it won't be the kind of love that you and I think it is. It'll be the kind of love that God wants. And we will find, as Brother Branham said, doing by nature these things and then catching on later. This morning illustrated in a little pastoral talk. That's why I can't get going in this subject, because you see, I've warned you and told you. I need someone to follow me who's strictly pastoral. I cannot mix both of them and do too well. Too long this morning, I can hardly hit this and make it work. So I'm going to let you go. You understand I want you to pray? I'm honest with you people. God is my judge. I've tried to be honest. What more do you want out of me? The next thing, I'll walk out the door. I'm serious. I'm very serious. I love you and I want you to have everything God wants for you. But you've got to take hold and believe and say, God, I'm going to have it. We've come this far, we'll go all the way. That still may mean that God will take me off the scene someplace. I don't know what he's doing. I'm not threatening anybody. I'm just telling you, I want you to wake up and understand. I have not been kidding you and teasing you. I'm serious. We're doing what we can. And I'm serious about this word, because here is what he says. He doesn't say one word about love. He says everything about word. Because everything is in the Logos. God poured everything into Christ. And when we have him today, we have the millennium. We have, first of all, life manifested. We have the resurrection. We have immortality. We have the rapture. We have the wedding supper. We have the millennium. We have the millennium. It's 1,000 years. We sit by the great white throne and go through with it. We're not part of it. We're in it, though, in that respect. Then we go to the great new creation. Here we have him now. Everything is in him. It started now. You've got to believe that. But you've got to believe the rest of it. There's a spirit that goes with it. Get in the spirit. Get in the spirit. Get in the spirit. The judge is here. We've been exonerated. The word is here. It's a conduit. We're the ground of God. Paul said so. We are seed. That's where we receive the Holy Ghost. Only those of the Holy Ghost will say amen to what's here. Then that love has to come forth. You won't even notice it, but you look back at times. As I said this morning, I did to others what I wished others had done to me. Because they have not done it, there's no excuse why I don't do it. So I did it. Not knowing what I was really doing in any of these things. But it paid off. And the proof of the paying off is here in the natural. And at the same time, there are treasures laid up in heaven, or the Word of God is not the Word of God any longer. See why I say these things? And I'm one of the poorest examples under God in high heaven. I wish you had someone like Brother Branham. You're worth it. Have someone like Brother Branham teach you instead of Lee Bale up here. It was nice to work with Brother Branham. I could take the doctrine and these things and say, look, Pope, don't let, when he listens to me when it comes to this here, but you watch him when it comes to that. He said, whoo, glory to God, hallelujah. You talk about a skunk. But, you know, not too bad a skunk in the sense I deodorized a little bit. At least I'll be honest with you people, tell you the truth. I'm not here to pull your leg or to pull mine. Not reverse psychology. I'm just telling you the truth. I spill my guts all the time. I always will. You do what you want with it. And I use a phrase like that. Do what you want. And it hurts. You're going to do what you want anyway. And I'm going to do what I want. And I hope we both want to do what God wants. That's the thing. Look. Hereby we know that we are in Him. Now everybody's going to quote that on love. Hereby we know in Him. Because I love it. Oh, it doesn't say that, brother, sister. It says you're in the Word. And you can say amen to every word the prophet said. That's how you know you're a seed of God. I've read it. We've pointed it. And a vindicated prophet said it. What more do you want? Your confession is this confession. That's the one from heaven that's speaking here. According to Hebrews 12. And notice, Hebrews 12 is what? Matthew 12. He makes the wrath of man to praise him. Why'd they throw that in? Because a Roman Catholic priest in France, riding on his old horse up and down, put the whole Bible into paragraph, into chapters and verses. Absolutely anointed by the Holy Ghost of God to do it. That old boy likely going to make it. You don't think all Roman Catholics are going to hell? Come on, come on. Proof is a bunch of sitting here Roman Catholics for them. The best, that's the best bunch to come out of. Good old Greek Orthodox. No, I don't even know about that. Give me the good old Roman Catholics. That good old Roman Catholics. New Christian. Sure. Hereby we know that we are in Him. He that saith ye abide in Him ought himself to walk, even as He walked. How'd He walk? Don't get it messed up with love now, brother, sister. He said, I do what my Father tells me to do. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment you have in the beginning. And the old commandment is the word which you have heard in the beginning. Now He says it's the word. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which is which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness has passed and the true light now shineth. And he that saith he's in the light and hates his brothers in darkness till now. Now there it is. You say, well, that has to do with love. Only just. No, it's a test. Who's your brother? It's not what they're doing. Listen, brother, sister, don't you understand at this point this is Cain and Abel, not what they have done to each other, but what they've done to God? If Cain had done to God as Abel did, he wouldn't have fought. Somebody's got it right and somebody's got to be wrong. And those that are wrong are going to fight. As one person once said, a dying man is the biggest fighter of all because he doesn't want to die. And Brother Brandt said, I don't want to leave this world dying, kicking and screaming. I don't either. He that loves his brother abides in light. Just a minute. I thought he said the word did this. Then if you've got that real word, you will have real love. And if you don't have that real word, you will not have real love. You'll end up as a Church of Christ saying, well, we just wanted to, you know, real miracle. Like, we would cut the little girl and then you would heal her. And they talk about love. And the Pentecostals talk about love. And the Baptists talk about love. They all talk about love. Oh, they're all loving Christians. When the church age book about Brother Branham was hardly cold. And Joe Pine had a bunch on his radio program. And they talked about this horrible man, William Branham, dead now, thank God, who dared to say that Eve and the serpent had coitus and brought forth Cain, as though the serpent was a big four-footed elephant or something, when he was just what all the women fall for, a great big real he-man, the giant. We wrap her around his finger and make her feel like the queen and seduce her in 15 seconds flat, and she'd love every second of it and come back for more. 10 times the man, so to speak, that Adam would be, when it came to just the big man. God, then you wonder why we make my stomach sick. Not you sisters. I look at you sisters and I think, well, we're pretty lucky. We're real lucky. We're terribly fortunate. I've known some of you for 20 years. Faithful, virtuous women who ever lived this earth. You don't have those kind of stupid reactions, but that woman out there that's filthy that types the church. They wanted Brother Branham hung up and spigoted, yeah. Roast him. While they undressed themselves to the plaudits of men to be judged as harlots at the white throne. I'm not fussing at women. Women ought to smarten up, don't realize Brother Branham wasn't kidding. There's something about them is very dangerous. There's something about a man that's very dangerous. He'll take advantage and just leave you cold. That's what the Antichrist does. That's what Ahab did with his false prophet Zedekiah. He took in Israel and left her cold without a leader. With the Syrians covering the land. Oh, they claim we're going to get back for the church what the church has lost, which was her virginity. We're going to get her back in restoration to present her to God. And they opened her wide for rape and for pillage and degradation and sin and death. That's what the world does. And that's what the church does. Beware of deceit. Someone fooling you, deceiving you. Yeah. Maybe I'm the deceiver, but I'm not too subtle. Listen, we're going to push them out and take what belongs to us. They'd have got it if they'd have stayed right. They'd have got their restoration, but they've left it. That's the way organizations, the church has got the right to these things, but you've been cheated out of it. You were cheated. Brother Branham says the church was cheated. They get death instead of life. In vain do they worship God, having for doctrines the doctrines of men and of devils. They worship and they even believe, but their faith is wrong. He said, because you got away from God's word and God's spirit, anointing, to vindicate the word of the season, don't fail to get this message. And he said, right here, I am the only one who does not deceive you. I am the only one, and I will stand before God because God told me that I'll take the blame of all men upon my souls who have listened to me if I'm wrong. Do you realize what that means? You can win scot-free. Maybe not bride, but the other side. You'll get in. You'll get in. Now, to believe that, you've got to believe the prophet was right. And you might as well go all the way. He said you're cheated out of it because you don't believe the word of the season. What's the word of the season? Deceit, 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 deceit. Men coming behind the prophet with even greater signs and wonders and miracles. Bigger tents, bigger everything. Do you realize what that means? That this prophet, now listen carefully, brother, sister, and understand this, which 99% don't understand. And that is this simple little truth, that if Brother Branham was that one vindicated one, that one true prophet, then he was understandably, absolutely without choice, surrounded by false ones. And for every true fivefold minister preacher, there's going to be a surrounding of false ones. In And some of you will be so gullible, a man says he's called to preach, you will outright believe him flat. What you should do is wait and see if he's really got a call. See which way his call's getting him. And that call's a tough one, too. Well, you look back, it's not so hard. I can't remember the days I stood there, mute, tears on the inside, everything swept away, time after time. You'll never feel how I felt to tell it, and I can't feel how I felt then. But I survived. I did what I told you this morning. I wish someone had done for me, so I did for somebody else. And it's all come back. Not just once, but literally hundreds and hundreds of times. Can you believe that $2,500 or better just with two people has brought so many multiplications of that figure? It has to be simply astronomical when you begin to consider what God will do. Now, if you get the wrong spirit on what I'm saying this morning, God have pity on your soul, brother, sister. It'll never work for you. You'll end up a derelict. I'm telling you, it's got to be something in here. It just sort of comes natural. Just keep tuned in. I say this to every woman and child. You think I'm preaching to men this morning because of I love you enough to let you know this too. And I'm talking to you too. Give every child even. Learn these things this morning. Learn that God is dealing with you as a son and a daughter. And many things you're doing are very natural. Just a little inspiration, just a little something. That woman who baked a little cake, her worries were gone. That woman with that little saying, he said, look at the man that came. He said, my servant. He said, my servant is very sick. I love him. But he said, you don't have to even go. So I understand authority. He said, for this thing. Hattie Wright, Hattie Mosher. Brother Brown, that ain't nothing to do. He said, for this thing. That little thing. That little cup of water. That little thing. Now, don't be a busybody trying to run around and discover something. No. Just begin to believe that you're a believer. You love him this morning? Sure we love him. We can't help it. Why? This word. You know, I think Brother Bill, other people love him too. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. A lot of women love David. About 500. But I doubt that anybody loved him like Bathsheba. About 1,000 loved Solomon. But the Shulamite loved him like nobody else did. And he could say to her with a harem of 999 left over. He could say, yep, he said, I got an attachment for those women. From the masculine viewpoint, oh, they're great to love, all right. And he said, they're gratifying. Sure. But he said, you've got eyes like a dove. He said, you sit there like a gem of the most beautiful city. And he talked to her like he could talk to nobody. And there's a lot of people out there that talk to God, make love to God, so to speak. That's true. But there's nobody like his bride. I want you to settle in on that this morning, brother, sister. I want you to settle in on it, and some of you listen, and you will do it. As sure as I stand here, if I don't do it, you will do it. You don't believe that? You better believe it. I don't tell lies, brother, sister. I got a long road to go yet, and I've not lied to you yet, and I'm not going to lie, because I'm not given just the words. I'm wordy, but I'm not given the words. There are you who will. You will. I'm telling you, you will. Where do the rest stand? It's up to you. It's up to me. Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious eternal Father, loving God, we thank you again for your mercy, Lord, extended to us. We know, Lord, that every day we come together here, There's something new coming, Father, because we know that you have set our hearts, O God, to do this, to serve you, to love you. You set our hearts, Lord, because our hearts are your heart. For we've come out of the womb of God, as it were, straight from those thoughts into manifestation, Lord. And I'm claiming every single person in this building, every man, woman, and child within hearing of my voice. Lord, maybe I'm going too far and saying I'm believing that my voice is your voice. At least there's some words in there that could be your words, and I'm believing that they are. If there isn't one of us, me, every person in this building, Lord, that has the ability to comprehend anything at all, is going to comprehend like that little eagle that Brother Branham spoke about. That cry did it. Just that little flap of the wings, that did it. Listening, that did it. There's going to come a time, Lord, when every eagle is going to make it out of here. And we're believing that everyone that comes in this church here, Lord, not because this is any special place, but because of your word, Lord. I don't know how to put it together, Lord. We're just saying we're believing, oh God, for every single person here, Father. And we praise you for it, God, in heaven, that we can have such confidence to them, word, and they to us. We all one with you, Lord, and we believe your confidence is in us. It would have to be, because you said you wouldn't lose any of us, and there'd be a certain, not necessarily a program, but there'd be a certain something in there that you looked at, and that would have to be because you put it there. And then your prophet often said, I, the Lord, had planted it. Lord God had planted it. I'll water it, lest any man pluck it out of my father, out of my hand. We know, Lord, that was a composite of some scripture. But he said it, and he said it exactly right, Lord, because it is for this hour that you've done it. And so, Father, we love you this morning. We feel your peace. We feel your presence. We feel your goodness, your mercy, and all those things. And we're looking, Lord, for higher and greater plateaus all the time from now on, Father. Not basing it upon any feeling in this service, although, Father, we must admit that we're still in that area. Oh, God, you know, and there's no use us lying to you, because you read our hearts and all about it. But, Lord, based upon that sweet spirit, we believe is here, as we've talked about you and the prophet, and believing we said the true things, Lord. We believe that sweet spirit is coming more and more into this church here, oh God. And, Lord, by faith in every other church, too. Yes, we believe that, because we're not going to believe we're an isolated some little place here in Ohio. We believe every place, Lord, where that word is coming forth. And in that measure, Lord, we trust it's the right and proper measure, just moment by moment, that faith will become more and more in and love more and more in, Lord, even as you came more and more into your church until you took a headship. Let that also be the headship here, until gifts, as it were, on the shelf, everything put on the shelf, as it were, and we're looking straight at the revealed Christ, that one in our midst today, declared and fully made obvious before us, not just by the manifestation of signs and wonders, but by the complete delineation of the prophet. And we holding to that, all one as never before, getting ready to get caught out of here. Father, we know they cannot, the dead, be made perfect without us. We're anxious for that perfection the same as they are. We're hungering for it, Lord. We're reaching for it. Help us to forget everything behind until we apprehend that for which we're apprehended, which we know has to do with the tree of life, immortality. Father, I could pray forever, and my words would still be tangled. But, Father, you know my heart. You know the heart of each one of us. Accept us, we pray, hearing us through the blood, accepting Christ as our representative. All these mercies we ask in the name of Jesus Christ for his glory. Amen. The Lord bless you. Take the name of Jesus with you.